This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 284. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, and not 2 feet to my right, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it feel to be back home?
Well, good, but wish we were still in Florida. But, you know, it's good. It was good to sleep in my own bed last night and get back to somewhat of a routine. But, yeah, it's certainly weird. Always having to leave after those events and being around baseball 24/7 to go back to reality. But that is life, and we are here from both our houses, very far apart at this point. But we're still talking baseball and still talking spring training.
Yeah, there's been a lot of exciting storylines and player performances already in spring training. We're about, a week and a half into games. Still got a few more weeks to go before opening day. But a lot to talk about already. We did the MLB version of this episode on Monday. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. And we got a lot of prospects to talk about today. But before we do the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at AirCross04. Show is at ToolShipPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshipfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And make sure to check out all the great things going on over at Rotoballer. A lot of great articles, podcasts, tools, a lot of great content in general to help you win this fantasy season. Use the code TOOLSHED at checkout. Get you 10% off any premium package. Doesn't even have to be baseball, but of course, it probably should be at this point in time. But check that out at rotoballer.com. All right, let's hop into, we have a lot of big names on the list, but let's start with not one of the super big names, but someone that, you know, it came out the other day, a little video of him stateside. That's Leo DeVries from the San Diego Padres. Kind of makes you wonder, Chris. You know, maybe they won't fast track him exactly like they did with Ethan Salas, because that's something you don't see, you know, barely ever. But you got to wonder, if he's already stateside now, kind of would be weird to have him go back to the DSL. So do you think that they do fast track DeVries? And, you know, what kind of player do you think we're looking at here long term?
Yeah, so I do think that he stays stateside at this point, like, especially with complex league starting earlier. I think this just makes sense. You bring him in. It's March the 5th. He was there, what, yesterday? So March the 4th. He participated in inter-squad games. He is going to go through the routine of minor league camp and then be in extended spring training for only a month before complex league games start. So, you know, I firmly believe that he's going to stay. Maybe he doesn't go to single A by the end of the year. Maybe he does. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we do see him in single A. But I will say that it's pretty encouraging that we're already seeing him stateside, that he's in inter-squad action. Like, those things are huge. He's 17 years old. No, I don't think that he makes it a double A like we saw with Ethan Salas last year. That would be a little wild, but I do think that this is encouraging. Shows you how much they really believe in this guy, and the hype on him is just pretty insane. Some have said the best international prospect in 20 years, which is very big praise. So, yeah, I think that it's pretty cool to see that teams are being more aggressive when they feel like that these players are ready. So, you know, ultimately, like, I'm in the camp that he sticks. I think he's going to stay stateside and just play at the complex level. So I'm excited to see what he can do too. I think that we're looking at a pretty special talent. If we're being honest, like, I think that there's potential like five tools if yeah, all clicks right. But yeah, that's high praise. He's young. We need to see him in game action. So we shall see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, and he got number 21 too. He got a low number. Did get, like, you know, something in the 70s or 80s too. So very exciting player, obviously, but we need to see him in games. You can't really speak to the hit tool until we see him in games, because all we really have on him is, you know, the video from the, you know, the backfields and stuff like that. No real video to go off of in games. So I've stopped kind of speculating on, oh, this guy could be plus hit. You know, you can really project power. You can, you know, project what type of athlete they're going to be. And yeah, he definitely checks off all those boxes. You know, it looks like he's a guy that he already has shown good raw power, still has more projection on the frame. He's a great athlete too. Got it. Like Chris said, he could be a five tool guy if the hit tool is there, and we'll see. But it's going to be a very fun player. He's already a top 100 prospect for fantasy purposes right now. And the guy that, you know, if he has a hot start, in the, you know, wherever he is, you know, probably in the complex, but wherever he is, doesn't matter. If he has a hot start and performs well this year, you're going to see him absolutely skyrocket. So, you know, like Chris mentioned, the hype is already getting kind of high on him. So the price tag won't be low by any means right now, but it's one of those situations where it's maybe worth it to buy high right now, because if you wait even 3 months, 4 months, or this time next year, you're probably going to have to pay a much heftier price tag, because that's the type of talent we're looking at here with DeVries, and he's going to be a really fun one to follow this year. Let's go some of the bigger names here, guys, that are a little bit closer to being ready than Leo DeVries, and talk about Wyatt Langford, who had 3 home runs in 2 games over the weekend, really starting to heat up now, but then didn't play the next couple of days after that. I still think he's going to be breaking camp with the team. At this point, it would make zero sense to have him start in AAA. He's ready right now. And, you know, people keep asking me, I have this format. Should I take him 1-1? Yes, he's the 1-1 and everything for FYPD. I don't care what your contention window is, your format is. He's the 1-1. And long-term, I mean, I really think we're looking at, this could be a top 10 fantasy player. Like, maybe as soon as next year. You know, I could see him just going, you know, breaking out in a huge way right off the bat. You know, looking at 35-plus home run power, potential for 20-plus steals. guy that has shown a great hit tool, great approach, more walks and strikeouts, and everything's here to be an absolute fantasy monster. Great park, great lineup, checks off all the boxes, and then some. I mean, it's hard to contain my excitement for Langford. I know I'm not alone in that, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on Langford, Chris?
I think he's an absolute stud. I think that he's going to break camp with the team, and I don't think that's really even a question. Like, I just really believe that he is going to be in the opening day lineup and be like, oh, well, what about this guy or this guy? Like, they have an opening at DH. Like, I understand, like, Leody's good. Evan Carter's obviously good. Adelis Garcia. They've got a great outfield. But there's a spot, and this kid's good enough to be in the opening day lineup. There is absolutely zero reason to hold him down any amount of time because they want him to win Rookie of the Year. They get an extra draft pick. They have two chances at that between Langford and Evan Carter, and there's no reason that they don't push him. I would be a little surprised if he doesn't break camp at this point, but you know, maybe I'll end up being surprised. Right now, I think it's like a 95% probability that he breaks camp with the team. And I think that he's just going to take off. He's going to give you high-end power, high-end OBP, good average, and good speed. Just really solid all-around player that I am way in on.
Let's have a little fun here. What is Langford's 2025 ADP, Chris?
We'll go, I mean, I think like Ellie's going top 20, so he hit, I mean, like he was good, but I think that Langford goes top 15.
Yeah, I was to say like, yeah, 15, 16 range. Yeah, all in on Langford. Like, people remember how high I was on Kelenic. I might not have been as vocal about this one, although I am pretty vocal about Langford too, but I am much higher, you know, than on Langford because he's a much better, he has more power, he's a better pure hitter. You know, this astronomical upside all across the board with Langford. And then Evan Carter as well. He had two home runs today on Tuesday, including a grand slam. You know, getting really hyped about, you know, Carter as well across the league. Obviously, he came into the league last year down the stretch, performed well, had a good run in the postseason as well. His two home runs, two steals in seven games so far this spring, hitting .389. Zero walks to six Ks, but you know, this guy that's come in, you know, noticeably, you know, bigger and stronger, and that's kind of been like the X factor. Everyone knows that he's going to provide a decent amount of speed, and, you know, he's a plus or better runner. He's, he can get on base at a good clip. The contact skills are solid, but I think that what the X factor is going to be here, and it still is the power. And if he's a guy that can really take that next step forward with the power, be a 25 plus homer guy, and that could put him as a top 25 overall player. As it is now, even if he's like a 15 to 18 homer guy, he's still like a top 50 player. But I think that power taking that next step could really put him into like top two round consideration, maybe even by next year. I mean, I'm very high on Carter as well. Do you think that power can get up there, Chris? Like, how bullish are you on the power?
I'm not going to go like super bullish, but the frame is certainly there. We've seen him put up some good EVs to the pool side. He's got the pop. Like, I think there's certainly 20 home runs in the bat. You know, whether he gets to more than that or not, I still think it's a question, but I do love the power speed potential, and I love just the potential for him to be a well-rounded profile. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that he's just so well-rounded in every asset of the game. I mean, he's very good in the field as well. So that's obviously huge. I mean, he's going to keep his floor high to play. So I am certainly in on Carter, the power potential, but it's everything else. Like, even if he hits 15 homers this year, I think he's going to provide fantasy value where you draft him. I'm really in.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun year watching these two duke it out for American League Rookie of the Year, along with a few others. It's going to be an absolutely loaded AL Rookie of the Year race. Like, you're going to have Langford versus Carter versus Caminero versus Jackson Holliday. That's just insane right there. So that'll be fun. But moving over to the National League now, with a guy that probably won't factor into the NL Rookie of the Year race this year, but who knows? Because he's been tearing the cover off the ball so far. His manager said that if it was up to him, he'd be up right now, but obviously it's not up to the manager. But that's James Wood with the Washington Nationals. So far, 9 for 19. It's a 474 average, 3 home runs and a steal, 6 walks to 4 strikeouts. I think that's the most encouraging part right there. I mean, 3 home runs and a steal, yeah, it's great. 474 average, yeah, it's great. But we knew that Wood's got massive power and can run a bit too. But seeing him, yes, it's early, but more walks and strikeouts, very encouraging. That's like the one question about him, right, Chris? Like, can he keep the K rate in check, and make enough contact to get the average to a higher level, or is he going to be a 250 guy? But we know it's 30-plus home runs. We know there's 15-plus steals, and we've seen that from him the last couple of years in the minors and even so far in spring training. So I guess, you know, obviously we can't change our, you know, thought process too much on 9 games in spring training, but do you think that Wood can, you know, keep that K rate in check and make it, you know, hit for a high enough average where he's a top, you know, 50 player? And maybe we dropped him down too much over the last year in our prospect rankings. Yeah, he's still super high, but I think last year this time probably was like, you know, around 5th on average in a lot of prospect rankings. Now he's probably more like 10, 11, 12, so not a huge drop, but, you know, maybe we did drop him a few spots too far.
Yeah, when I look at Wood, the biggest thing to me is just, like, the ability to hit breaking balls. With any guy that size, like, they're going to naturally have long levers. They're naturally going to expand the zone some. But I will say that looking at the numbers, he's not so bad at expanding the zone. He actually doesn't chase all that often. He can take a walk. It's really just the struggles against breaking and changeups. Like last year was like a 50% contact rate against changeups and breaking balls. The good news is one of the homers he hit this spring off a breaking ball. Very encouraging to just see, even though it's, you know, a small sample of performance. Like Wood hits the ball incredibly hard. I really think he's just a special athlete too. Like he's going to put up 30 plus homers. He may steal 15 to 20 bags. And even if he hits 250, like I think there's a lot of value in this profile, but I do think there is still room to grow. Like this guy could potentially still tap into more contact. I mean, we've seen improvements already. So I kind of want to bet on that and just hope that it all clicks, because I do think that this is a real possibility that we see improvement. And if so, Wood is going to soar up rankings, even though he's already high. Like, I think I have him at 11 right now. I think he could, if he makes more contact and we have the graduates, then I think he's probably the number one prospect. At least he has the potential to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he's been absolutely tearing the cover off the ball so far this spring. I think he recoups, you know, again, he didn't lose a ton of value over the last year or so, but I think he does recoup a little bit of that value, especially if he shows that he can trim that K rate a little bit. That'll be huge for him moving forward. Let's go over to a few Baltimore Orioles prospects right now. I mean, we talked about Colton Cowser on Monday's episode, and he's still tearing the cover off the ball. But so are Kobe Mayo and Jackson Holliday right now. Now, Holliday had 2 extra base hits today on Tuesday, double and a triple, up to 7 for 21, 2 doubles, 2 triples, and a steal. Has struck out 8 times, though, this spring, but hitting 333, 364, 619. Then we get Kobe Mayo so far, 6 for 20 with 3 doubles. No home runs yet, but also hitting the ball very hard this spring. And 4 walks to 5 strikeouts with him. I mean, it's looking like Jackson Holliday is going to be the opening day second baseman. At least that's probably 98% at this point. Or maybe not 98, but at least 90%. It is trending that way. But Mayo looks like he's going to be in AAA to start the season. For how long, who knows? I guess it'll kind of depend on how well, Jordan Westberg is hitting, or, you know, Ryan Mountcastle, and if he can stay healthy. But starting with Holliday, you know, now that it looks like he's going to be a second baseman moving forward, Chris, you know, how high do you think he can rise up the second base ranks? Like, you know, I think with him, similar to Carter, power is the X factor here, but Holliday looks more, you know, he's bulked up more this year, looks noticeably stronger. And so maybe he's a guy that can take that next step with the power. We'll see. But, you know, assuming he does, or I guess I should say, do you think he takes that next step with the power? Where do you think the power gets to? And ultimately, you know, where do you see him kind of settling in overall rankings and at second base?
Yeah, I think the power's there. I think people kind of doubt when they look at the frame. It's funny because he looked so bad on Sunday when I was there at the game. And like, you don't want to, like, it was one game, three at bats, but he had six whiffs in three at bats. He struck out twice. The other thing, he popped out in foul territory. And obviously, like, you don't want to get too caught up in that. But to see him bounce back, like, he got the day off on Monday, and then Tuesday, he had three batted balls over 102. He had a single, double, and triple. The double and triple nearly left the yard. This guy ultimately is somebody that had a 91-mile-an-hour average exit velocity last year as a really young hitter who still hasn't really filled out his frame. So I think that Holiday still has 20 home run juice in the bat pretty easily. It's all about the lift. He actually had a negative launch angle on pulled balls and hard hit, like pulled hard hit balls. Like he pounded in the ground. He's rolled over them. So that obviously needs to be fixed. But I think that the potential's there. We know that he's got the tools. We know that he can be a good athlete. He can play second. He can play short, whichever. So I'm rather in on Holiday. I think he can be a top five second baseman, just like looking at the pool, maybe even higher. I mean, obviously now with Mookie at the top, you've got like Albies, and then it gets a little older. You have Altuve, you have Semien, like Matt McClain. I think that Holiday can be a little bit better version of what we want Matt McClain to be. Has pop, he probably can steal a few more bags. He's got the on-base skills. Like, that's a huge advantage for him. So, looking at that, I'm thinking Holiday can be a really talented second baseman.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that three spot for him, or maybe even two. I mean, as long as Mookie's there, Mookie will be one. But at the same time, you know, Mookie is 31. And I don't think he's going to, you know, fall off a cliff anytime soon. He's probably one that's going to age gracefully just because he's a, you know, one of the best athletes in all of sports, period. You know, I do think we can see him, you know, get up into that, you know, one, maybe even number one. Once Mookie gets to be 34, 35, maybe he does fall off a little bit in production. But I can see Holiday ranking ahead of Albies. I mean, I like Albies a good amount. But I could see a future where Holiday's ranked ahead of Albies. And I do agree. I think he could be, you know, a bit better than McClain. Obviously, he's a better hitter than McClain is. You know, power, you know, home run output probably is pretty similar. And you know, maybe a few more steals for Holiday. So I do think he does get ahead of McClain. Well, obviously, yeah, I like a good amount. So, yeah, I'm thinking like top 25 or so. Like Langford could be top 10. I think we could see Holiday be like a top 25 overall player and maybe the number one or number two second baseman at some point. So, yeah, I think that move to second base, that's probably where he does wind up long term. I can see that, especially with Gunner being there. So I think this definitely gives him a nice little boost in value just because, you know, second base isn't as stacked at the top when compared to shortstop, obviously. So I kind of like this move for him. And we'll see if he gets on the opening day roster again. It's turning that way. But then we'll see how long it takes to see Coby Mayo. I mean, Coby Mayo's ready. I think there's no doubt in my mind that Coby Mayo is ready, but no spot for him right now. I'm targeting Mayo everywhere because, Chris, I don't think there's that big of a gap long-term between like him and Cameron Arrow. Yeah, I have Cameron Arrow ranked ahead. I think everyone does. I know you do, obviously. But power-wise, pretty damn close. And, you know, maybe Cameron Arrow's slightly better pure hitter, but I don't think there's like a massive gap there. So, I mean, I think Mayo could be a top 40 to 50 player. I mean, I think he could get right in that second tier that we talked about Cameron Arrow getting into, you know, where Riley and Devers are now. And yeah, maybe Cameron Arrow is a little bit higher in that tier. But long-term, I think they're in the same tier. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, like, if that actually transpired and we saw similar production. I mean, Caminero's EVs are better, but at some point it's just like, it's just a moot point when you're hitting the ball like as hard as they do. Both hit the ball really hard. Both have, I mean, Caminero's probably 70, Mayo maybe 65 grade power, but it doesn't matter all that much at that level. They both have power that will transcend pretty much any park. So that's obviously pretty notable. And then when you look at the contact skills, I think they're actually pretty similar too. And both do make good contact for bigger guys. And you look and you may expect more whiff, but those guys make enough contact to be at least average hitters, if not more. So looking at the profiles, no, I kind of agree with you. I think they could be pretty similar. I also wouldn't be shocked if we saw Mayo up pretty quick. Maybe you wonder, like, well, how does he fit? But if he hits, this is a team that's going to be contending. They can find a spot for him. So with that being said, I am very excited to see what Kobe Mayo does the rest of the spring and where he starts the season.
Can you imagine? I mean, Mayo has, you know, big boy power, as I like to call it. So I don't think, you know, the deeper left field will affect him, you know, much at all. But can you imagine him in like Fenway? Oh my word. He would just be 40 plus home runs easily there. Love Mayo. And the improvements he's made to be a better pure hitter over the last couple of years. Like, that was my kind of like why I was a little bit, not, I won't say lower on him, but a little hesitant to go super high with him in rankings a couple of years ago. But he, you know, improved contact, improved the K rate, improved the walk rate. Very encouraging to see. So yeah, he's a no doubt top 12 fantasy prospect and a guy that could get up to be, you know, a top five third baseman long term. And the upside truly is that high. Going over to the National League now, Owen Casey has been one of the best hitters in all of spring training so far. 9 for 17, 2 doubles, a home run, 3 walks to 4 Ks. So that's a 529, 600, 824 slash line. And this is a guy that's coming off a pretty damn good year for AA Tennessee. He was there the entirety of the 2023 season. 120 games, 528 plate appearances, slash 289, 399, 519, 31 doubles, 22 home runs, 7 steals, 76 walks to 164 strikeouts. And, you know, that was kind of, you know, a little bit of the knock on him early in the year, was striking out a good amount. It had a K rate above 30% in each of the first 3 months, but got a bit better in the second half of the year. Again, I think he's one of the most undervalued prospects in all of baseball right now. You know, Chris, what type of player do you think Owen Casey is long term, and do you think he's, you know, being slept on right now in dynasty leagues?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, obviously the power is elite here. Like, when we're looking at exit velocities, very, very similar to Junior Caminero. The question is just going to be, you know, how much contact does he make? And the contact did improve last year. He started out the year with incredibly high strikeouts, but we saw the rate improve, especially when the tacky ball left the league. The strikeouts went down. Casey has even further solidified the kind of contact he's making. And I know it's spring training, so I know I don't want to put too much into this, but I am very encouraged to see what he's doing so far and seeing the skills. And he's hitting the ball where they're pitched. Like, he's slapping balls and going the opposite way on pitches on the outer half. And to me, that's pretty huge. Also, when you look at it and you see, like, obviously the power. Like, there's never been any denying that power in the profile. He's been just a massive, massive dude. And then when you factor in any little bit of improved contact – I really believe that Owen Casey could take off. I think we see him probably this year. We'll see when and what kind of contributions he provides. But now I do really like Casey a lot.
I'm kind of wondering how this Cubs outfield plays out, because with Bellinger back in the fold, though he's going to play some first base too, obviously. But they also have Ian Happ. They have Seiya Suzuki. You know, with Bellinger maybe playing some center. And then they have three outfield prospects that are, you know, either ready now or soon, with Pete Crow Armstrong, Kevin Alcantara, and Owen Casey. Kind of want to see how this outfield plays out for the Cubs. Maybe a trade needs to happen here to free up some room. But yeah, Owen Casey, I think, is being slept on, you know, in dynasty leagues. I mean, Kevin Alcantara gets more buzz, but I think Casey's a better player long term. Maybe Alcantara has a slightly higher upside all round, so he can provide more speed than Casey does. But I think Casey's a better bat, and I think he showed that. And I just kind of calculated it out. First 3 months of the season, a 35.5% K rate. Last 3 months, 26.8. So still not like low, but much, much better. I also walked a lot more in the second half of the season as well. So yeah, I'm very, very excited about Casey. And you know, this is a guy I have currently ranked. Now, let's see here. Where do I have Casey ranked? I think around 40 overall. 41 right now, and that might even be a little bit too low. I think this is a guy that could be, you know, top, maybe even top 20 overall prospect sooner rather than later. Chris, where do you have him ranked?
Right now, just inside the top 40.
Okay, so we're pretty close in ranking on him. But last hitter that we're going to talk about is someone that I think everyone ranks a lot lower than Owen Casey, and that's Andy Páez, who is having himself a really good spring after, you know, a couple, you know, rough years, you know, the last few, after, you know, he broke out a few years ago, got some prospect buzz, then it's kind of fallen off the last few years. But this spring so far, 6-for-15, 4 extra base hits, including 2 home runs, 2 walks to 5 strikeouts. And, you know, like I mentioned, last year was just not a very good year for Andy Páez. Was limited to just 34 games, you know, 277. He did have a 425 OBP, but only had 3 home runs. Year before that, 236 average. He's always shown the power. OBP seals have been pretty solid as well, but average has, you know, still kind of a question mark where the average ends up here. But where are you at right now on Andy Páez, Chris? Is he someone you'd be looking to buy low on, and what kind of player do you think he is long term?
Yeah, he's one that, honestly, like, until I went back and was writing up all the team top prospects, that I had just like incorrectly faded, more so because like he hadn't played. Yeah, I think there was some prospect fatigue, like, even though he's only 22, and like the year over year performance got better. He missed a lot of last year, but he mashed. Like, he tore his labrum, which sucked, but to see him come back from a torn labrum and hit for the kind of power that he has so far is pretty noteworthy. The power comes easy. Like, it's 60, maybe 70 grade. I think it's 30 home run power. Yep. And before the 2023 season, he had cut 25 pounds, looked more athletic, and he was making more contact. He had a 78% contact rate before the injury. I think that if he had played all year, this is probably a top 50 prospect. And so I'm kind of in the camp that he's a top 100 guy. And we'll see what happens. But I really think that we see him in Los Angeles this year. There is an opportunity for him in that outfield. And the power is very, very good.
All right, let's keep it with the Dodgers here and go over to Gavin Stone, who, another guy that lost a lot of prospect helium, obviously had the massive 2022 season where some were questioning, you know, should this guy be ranked ahead of Bobby Miller? And obviously nobody has these two even remotely close anymore. But I guess the kind of question right now is, does Gavin Stone still have a path to providing solid fantasy value? He's having a pretty good spring right now in 3 appearances total, 5 2/3 innings. one earned run allowed, one walk to four Ks. Is he someone you're looking to buy low on, Chris? Like, do you think there's still a path to him being, you know, an above average fantasy arm, or is he, you know, someone that's just more of a back end guy for you moving forward?
No, I think it's too soon to completely write him off. I think Gavin Stone is a really good arm, and I think that, you know, while the changeup first profile is a little more concerning and scary, I think that he can make work. Like, the Dodgers are the organization that's going to step in. They're going to make tweaks. They're going to help him with the arsenal. And I really believe that Gavin Stone's still the kind of arm that you want to invest in. He was the best pitcher in the minors in 2022. And while I know that the debut in 2023 wasn't great, and then it was even a bumpy road in the minors last year, I still think Gavin Stone will be fine. And I want to bet on Gavin Stone pretty much wherever I can, because I think his cost is so low now in Dynasty. Like, people wrote him off so quickly. So if you can trade for Gavin Stone at a pretty cheap rate, then I'd do so. I just believe the Dodgers are so good at what they do. And Gavin Stone is already a good pitcher. So I'm just banking on the Dodgers developing Stone and him rebuilding a lot of value.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, does he show a better fastball this year? I mean, his fastball got absolutely annihilated at the major league level last year. 31 innings, ERA was 9 on the dot, 190 whips, obviously terrible there. But look at the metrics on the four-seamer, 552 batting average against, a 966 slug, and a 651 wOBA. I don't think I've ever seen those numbers on a single pitch before. I mean, you get granted he only threw 153 of them, but it was the second most used pitch behind the changeup, which he threw 34% of the time. Four-seamer was 28%, and also cutter, sinker combined about 31% on those. Kind of wonder, you know, the sinker was much better. Maybe he goes with more sinkers this year. We shall see. But yeah, that's kind of my question is the four seamer going to play enough? You know, the changeup we know is good. Had a 41.4% whiff rate on that last year. He can get some ground balls at a decent clip as well. So yeah, I think there's still some good things here in the profile, some red flags that need to be ironed out. I'm not super high on him. I think he still could be, you know, top 70 arm or something like that. I wouldn't even say top 50 long term, but I think there's still some value here. So I am more on the buy low, just because, like you, Chris mentioned, the perceived value has just dropped so much on Stone, given the fact that he was absolutely atrocious last year in his 31 innings with the Dodgers. But still some value to be had here. I don't think there's a lot of upside long term. But going over to Chris's Atlanta Braves here, AJ Smith-Shawver. That could be a tongue twister if you say that five times fast, as I just proved by saying it once, and I couldn't even say it once. But he's looking pretty good this spring, throwing harder than he ever has. And I think he's a guy that, you know, you can say was rushed a little bit by the Braves last year, but there's also a reason why they rushed a guy like Smith-Shawver. So, you know, Chris, what are you seeing from him so far this spring that has you intrigued?
Well, the fastball being up is certainly notable for sure. The velo was already good, but it's been up even more. Like, he's sitting about two ticks higher with more ride on it. Personally, I love to see the changeup development. I think that's been a big thing for him. The changeup has looked really good. He used it as his second most pitch in his second start the other day. It was a really good outing, but he still threw the curve and the slider a lot, and those also looked really good too. So I look at AJ Smith-Shawver. I still believe that he has the opportunity to be in the opening day rotation. And I know that may seem a little crazy, but I'm certainly buying what he's doing. Elder is pretty meh. I mean, Ronaldo Lopez is a competition right now, and I think that AJ Smith-Shawver gives plenty of good innings. I'm highly encouraged by the fact that the fastball's improved, that the secondaries look really good, and he's throwing strikes and locating well. So that's obviously a huge thing for me, and so I'm pretty excited to see what role he gets and what he can do with it.
Yeah, I think his perceived value has dropped a little bit too far. I think this is still a potential top 50 fantasy arm. I mean, again, there's a reason why Atlanta pushed him last year. And yeah, he's looked good so far this spring training. So definitely looking to target him. And I love Waldrop as well. We saw him, you know, when we were down in Florida, a little bit erratic. But obviously, Waldrop has really good stuff. But yeah, I think him and Smith-Shawver both make, and probably more for Smith-Shawver. Maybe he's more like 15 to 20 starts. Waldrop's more like 10 to 15. But I think they both play a good role on this team this year. Another guy here that's, you know, showing increased velocity this spring, even hit 101 today. That's Jared Jones from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, someone that you've been very high on, Chris, and I think you're probably higher on him than most in his outing today on Tuesday. 27 pitches, 15 were four seam, 9 cutters, 3 curve. Topped out at 101.1, while averaging 99.3 on the four seam, 89.6 average on the cutter, and curveball around 80 overall. Has been pitching pretty well this spring. Hasn't given up a run yet. You know, 3 walks to 3 strikeouts. Only been pitching in an inning here and there, but you know, long term, you know, this is a guy that I think has some sneaky upside, Chris, and I know you agree with that for sure.
Yeah, I think Jones is just really underrated. So I think that what he's done this spring has been pretty impressive to see the fastball tick up, to see the increased ride on that fastball. Like, everybody's so amped about, like, Paul Skeens, but Jared Jones may step in this rotation and, you know, put up some numbers pretty soon because he's more ready for the majors than Paul Skeens is.
Yep.
They've said Paul Skeens will start in the minors, so we know that. But I think there's a real chance that Jared Jones pitches in this rotation and pitches a lot of innings. He threw a ton of innings last year. He got a lot of experience in AAA. He's more than ready, and the arsenal is good. You look, and I mean, in 2022, he was a surefire reliever. I saw him several times. The stuff didn't stick. The velo didn't hold past 2 innings. Like this, and then 2023, he took a step forward. Then this spring, he looks like he's taking another step forward. So I am very excited to see what he can do. And I just really think that this is a really solid arm that not enough people are talking about.
Yeah, I think there's definitely much more value from Jared Jones this year than from Paul Skeens. And yeah, obviously I'll take Paul Skeens long term. But Jared Jones is sneaky. I think there's a lot of sneaky arms in the system. You know, Bubba Chandler, Anthony Solometso, that I've even been guilty of under ranking these guys. But yeah, Jones has really, really impressed me this spring. It's definitely going to bump him up my rankings here for my next update coming out in the next couple of weeks. 2 more names on the list here. Next one, DL Hall, you know, looking to make that transition into the rotation. There's a lot of opportunity in Milwaukee right now. Sounds like Wade Miley might not even be ready for the start of the season. But after Peralta, it's just wide open. It was going to go, you know, even if Miley's ready, it's Peralta, Miley, and then, you know, Jacob Junis, Colin Ray, and then DL Hall. So whether it works or not, we shall see. I'm personally skeptical that Hall has the command and control needed to start and, you know, be able to turn the lineup over multiple times. But Chris, are you, you know, more bullish or more skeptical about Hall becoming a starter long term that can actually stick as a starter?
Well, I'm more bullish than I was because I don't think the Brewers make this trade without thinking that they can make a run with him as a starter. It's hard to say they would just trade for a reliever plus Ortiz. Hall has the stuff. Don't think anybody's questioned that. The stuff is really, really good. The question is the command and the location. Now, I do think that it's possible that he does see a tick up. The Brewers have done a tremendous job of really developing arms. So with that being said, I think there's a chance that he could develop into a starter and be a pretty good one at that. So I don't want to write him off and say, oh, he's a bullpen guy. But I do really believe that there's a chance that he does really take off as a starting pitcher here, and maybe it's next year. He may need some time in this org because I do believe in the Brewers' ability to develop him.
You know, I will say that though the walk rates were always much higher in the minors, through 33 innings, you know, over two seasons with Baltimore, walk rates are only 7.6%. So we'll see. Obviously, like you mentioned, the stuff is absolutely filthy, and you know, that's already been reports this spring. Like he was striking out, you know, Yelich and Reese Hoskins in the inter-squad game. So yeah, love the upside here. And if he can, you know, keep that K rate, I mean, should we keep the walk rate in check and at least be in the 10% range moving forward, kind of like where Freddie Peralta's been at for a lot of his career? You know, strikeout rate could be a, you know, 30%+ K rate guy, and maybe he's a little bit higher on the WHIP than you'd like to see. But yeah, definitely a lot of intrigue here, a lot of upside with DL Hall. And yeah, I think if I'm leaning more buy or sell, I mean, I think I would lean a little bit more towards the buy right now, just because there's a chance this could work out. And if not, he still can fall back and be a really damn good reliever that can, you know, get saves or holds long term. So there's multiple paths here to DL Hall providing some pretty good fantasy value. So yeah, I think I would buy right now just to see where this goes. And if not, you have something to fall back on with him. Last name on the list here, Cade Povich, left-handed pitching prospect for the Baltimore Orioles. Chris had a chance to see him on Sunday. I did not, unfortunately, so I was in the middle of my labor mixed auction that afternoon. But Chris got a chance to go down to Bradenton to see him pitch. So, Chris, what did you see from Povich?
Well, he's what I was looking forward to, as well as Chase McDermott. McDermott, I think, pitched today, and I didn't see the results, but Povich looked pretty good. And if you look at the stat line, maybe it didn't look so great. He allowed four hits in two innings with a run, but he got BABIP'd to death. Like, it was a bunch of like bloop singles that just fell in. When I see Povich, like, he's a lefty strike thrower that has good fastball. Like, he was sitting like 93, 94. He has a really good changeup as well. Like, really good depth, really good fade. And the slider was downright nasty. So Povich, the intriguing thing to me is that he is ready to step into this rotation. And if Kyle Bradish is out, there's a chance that we see Povich sooner than later. I think him and McDermott probably battle back and forth like all spring. But one of those guys, and maybe both of those guys, pitch innings in the Baltimore rotation. So I feel like he's worth highlighting because you look at a smaller spring training performance and say, like, it doesn't really matter all that much. But this guy is someone that has a chance to pitch in the majors this year and pitch on a really good team at that. So I do think that the stuff is there. Like, Povich missed bats. I think he had 10 whiffs in two innings. So obviously that's a pretty good showing there. A lot of called strikes as well. So I'm pretty intrigued by Povich this year, especially like late in a redraft league. Like, I think he's worth a shot. Like, especially like a, I don't know, like a DC, grab him there all day long, and I'd be very, very thrilled.
Yeah, that's definitely where I'd be looking to target him. You know, DC's best ball, stuff like that. Probably not, you know, like a 12-team Yahoo target or anything like that, but definitely has some intrigue for sure. I mean, this is a situation where you can't always look at, you know, the ERA in minor leagues, because he had an ERA over 5 last year. But like Chris mentioned, he can miss bats. He had a 31% strikeout rate last year. Also had a 12% walk rate. So that's a little bit of a red flag in the profile. But yeah, definitely some intrigue here from Povich, and a pretty low price tag. Like, there's not like a lot of helium on him, so you won't have to pay much to get him, and maybe even pick him up, depending on the depth of your league. So yeah, definitely a fun one there with Cade Povich. And that will wrap us up. Been fun to talk about some new action, some new data, some new live looks this year. Just the start. You got 9 more months of baseball coming up. It's going to be a fun season, and we got plenty more fun episodes coming here in spring training. Make sure you check out all the great stuff at RotoBaller. Use that code TOOLSHED. Check out the DynastyDugout.com, ToolShedFantasy.com for all of our rankings, daily write-ups, and so much more. And we'll be back with you again on Friday. But until then, everyone take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.